Hi, I'm Tom Zimmerman from the EMGR podcast. This episode is about the relevance of parts work to EMDR therapy. And if you're a new EMDR therapist, it must seem that parts work has been suddenly dropped into EMDR therapy as its latest fad. And of course, people are divided into assorted denominations with all the judgment and camp dogma that can come with that. But this is a series of episodes about parts work generally in EMDR therapy, and I want to explore ways that parts as a concept has always been important to EMDR therapy and is really essential to doing EMDR therapy well. I'm not really talking about how to do parts work in this episode. I just want to show you how to see it. And see that we're always doing parts work in EMDR therapy and why this is the case. One of the many things that EMDR's adaptive information processing model does is it describes what a difficult memory is. So a traumatic memory contains the raw sensory information perceived by the nervous system at the time of the trauma. It contains also a snapshot of you at the time the trauma happened, the perspectives through which you viewed yourself in the world. Also encoded in this memory are your affective states at the time of the trauma. It's also possible at the time of the trauma that some initial schema stuff may be inserted, like, you know, the take-home messages of fat, ugly, stupid, lazy, not safe, my fault, etc. Those may be encoded into the memory at the time that it's first recorded as well. And if the schema stuff isn't inserted then it's likely to get inserted as this memory, the meaning-making process, as this memory is being, you know, accessed, brought into working memory and reconsolidated as we try to make, you know, some kind of sense in the years or decades since it. So if a memory encapsulates all of the aspects of an event as it was experienced by the nervous system at the time, then we need to understand that this experience happened at a particular developmental era and was experienced by the part system that existed at the time of the trauma. So encoded in many memories are worldviews, affects, internal conflicts and survival strategies, and parts. And the parts in that memory have since evolved into the client's right now parts. So we're often working with at least two systems of parts, the parts at the time of the trauma and your right now parts. The information accessible to you at the time of the trauma and the information that is accessible to you right now. And the degree to which these part systems are similar to each other or different depends largely on the nature of experiences that you've had since the trauma, right? So we're wounded experientially, and we have opportunities to heal experientially as well. So we gain new information by having new experiences. And in EMDR therapy, healing is the connection between these two information systems, right? Healing can be complicated by the internal conflicts, right, between the right now part system, the trauma era part system, or any conflicts between the two systems. And at the core of the AIP model is that the difficult stuff, whatever it is, has to connect to right now existing adaptive information. And in this, I often use the metaphor of a boat and a fish, with the boat being the adaptive information you have right now and the fish being the memory that you're trying to land. And in EMDR therapy, you can't land a fish bigger than your boat, right? So in the most general sense, really healthy people have really healthy systems and they have a boat the size of a cruise ship. So a lot of their healing is going to be us getting out of the way and then them seeing the connections between different things, right? So healthy people have an enormous amount of adaptive information and typically have pretty large windows of tolerance. they can typically land every fish they hook onto in a single session and resolve it largely effortlessly. People with pervasively traumatized nervous systems, however, may not have had much of an opportunity to develop information different than at the time of the trauma. It's possible they might, right? But it's possible that they may not have had much of an opportunity to develop information that is different. And what do you do when the parts of you at the time of the trauma, when you were 6 years old, are convinced that the trauma is your fault? And the most grown up right now parts of you also believe that the trauma at 6 years old was your fault. And in EMDR therapy, you can connect old stuck information into right now existing adaptive information if you have enough of it, but you can't connect a lie to a lie. It doesn't work in EMDR therapy. And most of the problems in EMDR therapy that you're going to encounter and all of the blocking beliefs aren't problems because the kid parts believe them. They're blocks because you're right now, and most often you're kind of grown up right now parts still believe those old lessons about yourself. So parts work provides the opportunity for your parts to have experiences that are different than the expectation and the bad memory, particularly when life hasn't provided you those opportunities. So they may be some of the first experiences your parts have in extending compassion to other parts of you. And in many forms of parts work, one part of you, typically the most resourced part, may bring a hug or may bring compassion to other parts of you. So there's so many ways that you can do this. You can do this inside EMDR reprocessing. You can do this as a form of resourcing. And I want to share a small piece of writing that I wrote largely from the point of view of my most grown-up parts to my middle school parts. And this is a recent piece. And of course, it's after I've done a lot of my own work, but it models the hug. It models the self-compassion. It models the information that the kid part didn't have. And it also is built on this recognition of strength and resilience and surviving and gratitude for surviving in all parts and all ages. So this piece is inspired by my childhood school pictures. Elementary and middle school pictures, which had long been a source of kind of self-judgment and self-hatred. So this is the piece. For the longest time, you'll see the gap in your teeth big enough to slide the kind of quarter that used to buy something. You'll see the crazy mop that is your hair, and you'll humiliate and shame yourself for these things. You wish you looked like James, Kevin, or Jerry, all smooth, cut, and slick. With a blue ballpoint pen, you'll etch yourself entirely out of your middle school yearbook. But I want you to know that you're going to grow up. You're going to buy new cars and marvelous old houses. You're going to make friends who will see you. You're going to have a child of your own. You're going to learn some things that will help sort out what is yours from what was done to you. You will experience different versions of love. I look at these pictures and I remember how hard it was to be you. And I appreciate the difficulty of that huge smile that projects that you're okay. I admire the creativity of your survival, and I want to go back and I want to give you a hug. I want to check in on you because I know you're not okay. I want to go back to you in seventh grade and tell you that 1982 is going to feel like it will kill you. And I'll tell you that I know for certain that it will not. It's going to take a long time and a lot of healing, but you're going to be healthy enough to look at those pictures and love yourself deeply. Think that you have always been creative and handsome, and that they are all absolutely lovely. These pictures document what was hard. They also document what has always been remarkable. And look, we still have them. So there were times not too terribly long ago when these pictures would have been evidence of defectiveness. Some of my most grown-up parts of me were still carrying the old survival strategies of self-blame and self-flagellation. In order to heal, I needed to have experiences that were different than the expectation in the bad memories. My first experience in therapy, when I was 24 years old, I needed to have the experience of finding the right adult words to simply describe what I had been through. My first therapist didn't know how to fix any of it, but she knew how to attune and how to listen. And in that, I had the experience of being with my trauma and also being okay. I had other experiences later in love and nurture that were helpful parts-wise. I had the experience of raising a child and seeing firsthand the needs that a child is born into. And I got the actual experience of providing concrete nurture to something. Later, I had really good therapy. I got to witness people also up close experience really good therapy. As a therapist, I saw people bringing comfort, empathy, and information across their parts and across developmental eras. Some of my early clients modeled the work of self-compassion that I had yet to do in myself. And after that, I had more good therapy, where the wounds carried by parts of me were metabolized into the parts of me that already knew that I was already okay. So there are thousands of ways to do parts work well, but EMDR therapy is almost always about connecting information held by parts in particular developmental eras to other parts that are hopefully resourced enough to metabolize that wounding. When the right now parts aren't healthy enough to metabolize the wounding, or when the younger parts are too stuck, frozen, or existentially lonely, we may need to promote experiences in which parts can connect to other parts in ways that are different than the expectations in the bad memories. So through these experiences, we can create the possibility of what didn't happen. And when clients are confused about human needs and whose job it is to meet them, we may need to help them have the experiences of getting a need met in imaginal space before it can happen in the system spontaneously. Parts work is about connecting different developmental eras and different parts of the brain, and all of it is done experientially. We are wounded through experiences and we heal by having different experiences. Parts work can create little pathways, then little roads, then roads, then highways, and then interstates wide enough for self-compassion, self-comprehension, and ultimately self-healing.